Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Komanyika. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. A horrific massacre of 9 people at a church in South Carolina has gripped the nation. A white shooter who remains at large entered the historic Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston, sat in the pews for an hour, and then opened fire, killing 6 women and 3 men. 3 more remain injured after surviving the attack. Among the dead were the church's pastor, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who was also a state senator. The shooter is reported to have said that you rape our women and you're taking over our country, you have to go. He apparently reloaded his gun 5 times during the course of the massacre. And the FBI has opened a hate crimes investigation into the shooting, but as of now, there are no reports that it is being investigated as a terrorist act. Chenjerai, is this a terrorist act?
It absolutely is. And, you know, this is something that is, we see the repeat of certain patterns here where we're going to focus on this as the work of a lone individual. But there's so many things about this incident that indicate that it was probably not the work of a lone individual, that he was at least under the influence of some type of hate group. The suspect that we have so far, we now know that the suspect in this is Dylan's name is Dylan Storm, a 21-year-old who's from Columbia, South Carolina as well. So we're learning more.
And we will certainly follow up tomorrow with an in-depth report on this as it continues to break. And then the United Nations has just released a new report on the world refugee crisis. And the numbers are so high that taken together, the world's refugee population would amount to the 24th largest nation. Half of the 60 million displaced people are children. 14 million were displaced in 2014 alone. The number of refugees and asylum seekers is as high as it was during World War II. A significant number of the displaced are due to the ongoing Syrian war. The head of the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, or UNHCR, Mr. Antonio Guterres, said, quote, "For an age of unprecedented mass displacement, we need an unprecedented humanitarian response and a renewed global commitment to tolerance and protection for people fleeing conflict and persecution," end of quote. 1 out of every 122 humans is displaced either inside their own country or outside. Well, Chenjerai, this is, of course, a very depressing set of statistics, but it shouldn't surprise us that a vast majority of those displaced are from poor and developing nations, right?
That's right. Disproportionately in poor and developing nations. And, you know, the Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, has commented it's terrifying. On one hand, there's more impunity for starting conflicts, but he talked about the inability of the international community to work together to stop wars and to build and preserve peace. And I think this really speaks to a problem with the way that we frame these wars. These are generally framed, sometimes in the media, as regionally bound ethnic conflicts or religious conflicts, and there's just a refusal, I think, to look in a comprehensive way at the deeper structural issues that are related to these conflicts, many times which move past national borders. You know, a couple of things I just want to say that are common to many of these conflicts are claims about political representation, concerns about resources, and in the case of Syria and some of these other things, we also have to look at the role of the foreign policy of industrialized nation in the way that by destabilizing political context, you create, you know, all kinds of refugees, some of whom are you know, politicized, some of whom are you know, can be violent in different contexts. You know, so these are all these factors we have to look at these conflicts in a much more complex way.
Right. And of course, our own foreign policy. Pope Francis has just released his encyclical, and rather than focusing on sex and reproduction, that is contraception, abortion, homosexuality, etc., he has used his bully pulpit to draw attention to the devastation of climate change. Heralded as a radical document, it reads, quote, "This home of ours is being ruined, and that damages everyone, especially the poor. The Pope got surprisingly detailed in the 184-page booklet. He wrote, quote, "The climate is a common good, belonging to all and meant for all. At the global level, it is a complex system linked to many of the essential conditions for human life. Humanity is called to recognize the need for changes of lifestyle, production, and consumption in order to combat this warming, or at least the human causes which produce or aggravated. The problem is aggravated by a model of development based on the intensive use of fossil fuels, which is at the heart of the worldwide energy system. Another determining factor has been an increase in changed uses of the soil, principally deforestation for agricultural purposes." There's, of course, much more in the document. But how important is this document, Chandra? Can it influence global policy?
Oh, I think it's extremely important and extremely encouraging. You know, I mean, just the way that so many things are being linked. I mean, there's, you know, looking at consumerism, looking at ultimately capitalism, its role. I mean, you know, there's things that people are worried about with this, right? Because there's a way in which people are not really, you know, we're worried about the Vatican's position on reproductive health. But if you really focus on the language here, I mean, what Pope Francis says here is it's focusing inordinately on the population control as an attempt to legitimize the present model of distribution. So he wants to really scrutinize the model of distribution. And I think that that's encouraging. And also the role for religion. I mean, this is really something where Catholics are being instructed to take action on this. And so that's breaking that binary between religion and science that has been so damaging in this context. So there's a lot of encouraging things going on here.
Well, Chandra, I want to thank you as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Chandra Kumanyika is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.